Jesus für Glieder mit mächtiger Hand, seine Gewalt.
Jesus leads with his mighty hand his church back into her land. Out of confusion where she was in. Glory to God. Glory to God for his faithfulness. Praise Yahweh with joy in Zion.
Jesus, du rüstet zum heiligen Krieg, alle Erlöser.
Jesus prepares for the holy war, all the redeemed, and leads them to victory. Hear this joyful and victorious song. Glory to God. Glory to God for all his faithfulness. Praise Yahweh. Jesus gathers his own at the end of time, which Satan has scattered. Very soon. But firstly, only for his own. When the trumpet sounds, he will rapture them into his glory. They will see him. Be with him at all times, and be with him at all times. The trump shall sound very soon. The trump shall sound very soon. Lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Redemption is near. Oh, look at the signs of the time of his return. They warn. It is still the time of grace. Forgiveness is still here. God is nigh to everyone. God is still nigh to everyone. The trump shall sound very soon. The trump shall sound very soon. Lift up your heads, for your redemption is near. For your redemption is near. The true children of God, they lift joyfully their heads. The crowd of overcomers who believed his word, they are awaiting their bodily redemption and rejoice. After their pilgrimage, the trump shall sound very soon. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, from Krefeld and Zurich, we greet you all worldwide, you who are now joining us online live worldwide, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 year ago, we could have the year-end meeting in a common way, even with the Lord's Supper. In the past months, everything has become different. Brother Scherer, 1 month ago, he read the wonderful word, the fitting word, into this today's difficult situation from Romans 8. There is written that all of the creation everywhere is groaning and with pain is waiting for a new birth. Also, we are groaning while waiting for the manifestation of the children of God, for the redemption of our bodies. What a grace! What a privilege that we patiently may hope, lifting up our heads now to thank the Lord from the bottom of our hearts. For we know that our bodily redemption is drawing near. In the December circular of Brother Frank, we can see on the world map that the word for our time has reached the ends of the earth, and the last ones in these days are called out. The Lord will finish his work of redemption shortly, and we may see what we believed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it will take place, and together with our Redeemer and together with one another, we will be united in glory. If we have fighted the good fight of faith, if we finished it, then there will be for us only glory. Before we pray, I would like to read us a word from Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, I read from verse 14 up to 21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole fatherhood in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his grace, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So far, this precious and holy word. May the faithful Lord confirm his word in all of us. May the Lord give grace today that we reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and so that he can dwell in our hearts by faith, and that we come into the, that we are filled with all the fullness of God. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, with all our hearts, we thank you for your precious and holy word, which is the joy of our hearts and comfort. We thank you for your eternal redemption, which has become a reality for us. We thank you that the hour of grace is still here, and every individual can experience your grace today. Lord, you are still the same. You are almighty, omnipresent and omniscient. You know that what every one of us needs, be it redemption, salvation, deliverance or healing, your never-ending grace May today be given to all. Touch and anoint your faithful servant in a mighty way and give him new strength so that he, according to his commission, may finish the great work. Bless, strengthen, and keep our beloved brother Frank also in his new year of age. May we lift up our eyes to heaven today, so that heavens are opening and so that the Holy Spirit can come down on us. Give us all a nature of the Lamb, a nature like yours, so that the Spirit can rest upon us, and so that your word can be manifested in our midst. Thank you, Lord, that our hearts are opened, that our prayers reach the throne of grace, so that the heavens open, and so that you can speak and answer from heaven today. To you, the only true God, belongs all the glory, all the praise, all the thanks, and all the worship. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I also would like to welcome all of you in the precious name of our Lord. Be blessed in Jesus' holy name. What a privilege that we can hear God's holy word, believing it, and that we may experience everything what the Lord has promised unto us. We are grateful for the word of introduction which Brother Baumgartner has read. We don't want to go here into details. In our Bibles, we have the precious word very precise translated. The whole fatherhood in heaven or on earth is named. Other translations, every family in heaven and on earth is named. Other translations, every kindred in heaven and on earth is named. And if we then go to the bottom of the matter, really, to the bottom of the matter, then we find no family in heaven. Then we find no kindred in heaven. We find only a father in heaven. And we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. As I said, to me it's all about teaching, in the teaching, doctrinally, to preach God's word in all truth. Not what Trinitarian translators are, but what God has said in the original and what he meant. But now it is about that we draw our attention to that what is happening right now. And of course, also that what God promised. We see that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes worldwide. Especially, we are told in the three Gospels, be it in Matthew 24, Mark 13, or Luke 21. Everywhere, it's reported to us what the Lord has foretold for the end time, amongst others, also that pestilences and all the troubles would come upon mankind. And by grace, we may see the fulfillment of Bible prophecy on Israel in general, and also in the Church of the Living God. And we have in these days, we have the time of Christmas, and all are committed to celebrate Christmas. In Christianity, a Christmas tree is decorated and put up and illuminated, and then the wreaths and the four candles on it. The first candle for the first Advent Sunday, the second candle for the second Advent Sunday, the third one for the third, and the fourth candle is lit on the fourth Sunday Advent. And then a baby is somewhere lying, a doll in a manger. The Word must be revealed to us once by God. With this I mean the plan of salvation of our God. 2,000 years ago, Bible prophecy was fulfilled, which referred to our Savior by the prophets. It was proclaimed, namely, whether we read in Psalms 2, verse 7, whether we read 2 Samuel 7, verse 14, whether in Isaiah 7, verse 14, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, whom she shall call Emmanuel. Or in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5 and 6, brothers and sisters, precious friends, we are of course not waiting that the Savior, the Redeemer, will be born. We of course don't celebrate His birth. We are preparing ourselves for His return. For now, all promises and the general Bible prophecy is coming to fulfillment, which would happen before the second coming of Christ. And therefore, our Lord repeatedly, He said, when you see all these things, then lift up your heads, for your bodily redemption is drawing near. We all, especially, we can go to the epistles of the apostles, especially to the Epistle of John, 1 John, chapter 2, how the Lord, by the man of God, could foretell what and how it would take place before the return of Jesus Christ. We can go to the epistles of the Apostle Peter, what he wrote about the return of our Lord, even that mockers will appear in the end time, and they will ask, where is the promise of his return? Since the fathers have fallen asleep, everything remains as it was. Everything comes, and what is not yet here will surely come to pass. We as the Church of the Living God, we are grateful for it, that we may live in this last time phase, being brought back to the origin, to the beginning. And brothers and sisters, let us also say this, 2,000 years ago, both started, the true, by God given, the plan of salvation, yes, the day of salvation and the day of grace broke forth. And therefore, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, that's how we read it in Luke chapter 1, he addressed her, thou highly favored one, blessed by God, favored, not full of grace, as in the Catholic prayers, it is being prayed, Holy Mary, full of grace. No, that's how it is not written in the Bible. But thou favored one, the time of grace started. God turned his face to mankind and has given us the redemption in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And therefore, brothers and sisters, when we speak about the birth of the Savior, we must emphasize how important it is that the angel Gabriel gave to the Virgin Mary, he gave her the promise, and she, by faith, she received it, what she was told by that promise. And she said, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And it happened. The word of promise. And then the Spirit came upon Mary. And therefore, the angel said, the Holy One born of thee is of the Holy Ghost. This is just so tremendous. The begetting of the Son, of the Word being made flesh, happened through the Holy Spirit in connection with the promise which God had given. Thus, the plan of salvation of God started in and through the Redeemer. And that's how God completes his plan of redemption based upon the promises of God with, in, and through the church. And so, as Mary believed the word of promise, but before that, she could say, but I don't know of any man. May we all say the same. We don't know of any human teaching or interpretation of the word. We know nothing at all. And we don't want to know nothing at all. We just want to hear what the Spirit says now to the church. And we come straight to it, brothers and sisters, to the most important part in our time. Bible prophecies are being fulfilled. But before we come to this point, let me just briefly mention something, that from the very beginning, both ran parallel. On one hand, the Church of the Living God as the pillar and foundation of the truth of God, and the other, on the other side, own interpretations. That's how the Apostle John wrote it in 1 John chapter 2, in the second part of his letter. The Antichrist comes, but there are already many Antichrists amongst us. They went out from us. If they would have belonged to us, then they would have remained with us. So, from the beginning, two different seeds, as in Eve, where two different seeds, Cain and Abel, totally different seeds. So, in the New Testament church is on one hand the true church by the Holy Spirit, by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, she came into existence. But then, right, the own interpretations and explanations were there. All the apostles, whether Paul, whether Peter, whether James, whether Jude, all spoke of it, that strange doctrines would be presented. And the Bible prophecy, we should read it more precisely and think about it, placing it before us, and that we see that everything comes to fulfillment. In our time, we have unifications of religions, unifications. Everything shall be brought under one roof, brothers and sisters. But the Church of the Living God is the foundation, is the pillar of the truth. Not one single heresy is in the true Church of the Living God. Also now, after God has sent Brother Branham, in our time, blessing him, making him, made him a blessing, and through him, the ancient word was newly revealed, bringing us back to the beginning. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We must sadly say that those brothers who were very nigh to Brother Branham, after his passing, brought in the most different doctrines, preaching them. Namely, with a closed Bible, but from the misunderstood quotes of the prophet, they put up their own heresies, constructing them. Brothers and sisters, it must be said here in all clarity, William Branham had a divine commission because he was a promised prophet. As certain as John the Baptist in John chapter 1, from verse 20, he was asked who he is. You all know the Holy Scripture. And then those who were sent to ask him, they turned to him. Thou art not Christ. Thou art not Elijah. Thou art not that prophet. Who art thou? We must tell them who have sent us. We must give them an answer. And then he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Make straight a way for our God. Beloved brothers and sisters, as an eye and ear witness, I may say, and before the open Bible, I can confirm that 10 years I had the occasion to witness the ministry of Brother Branham, the special prophetic gift, the thus saith the Lord, and also the setting forth of all the Bible doctrines. But if I think about of what was done with a prophet, what an idolatry was made with him, and how his statements just were misinterpreted. This hurts. I believe that William Branham was the promised prophet from Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. The prophet who should come before the terrible day of the Lord comes to turn the hearts of the children of God from all the confusion, to bring them back to God, to the Word, to the original faith. And we all know what Paul has written to the Ephesians. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Let us summarize of what it is all about now. Three scriptures are being fulfilled before our very eyes. Namely, Matthew 24, verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all nations for a witness. Revelation 14, verse 6, the everlasting gospel is being preached unto all nations for a witness. And then the commission of Brother Branham, which belongs to it, that the divine message of the word, which was entrusted to him, is being proclaimed to all nations and tongues. We are looking back to the 55 years, and whoever has read the last circular letter, December circular, he has seen the world map with all the pins, where the journeys were leading me, in all the countries, in so many cities on earth, to everything, to that what our Lord said, to carry out everything according to the divine commission. I proclaimed the everlasting gospel as it was proclaimed by the apostles in the beginning. I preached it all over the world. And in the same way, I may say, whether Matthew 24, whether Revelation 14, or that what God did through the last message, giving us from the Word, everything was proclaimed. I may say, dear Lord, let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen not only Matthew 24, not only Revelation 14, mine eyes have seen the fulfillment of that, namely the last message, the true word of God was proclaimed. Including is the evangelistic part, the teaching part, the prophetic part. Everything was included. So, not only preaching of the gospel, of salvation, of the soul, of the forgiveness, of the reconciliation, of the grace, but doctrinally about Godhead, about water baptism, about the Lord's Supper. So both, yes, one can say, everything had to be proclaimed. The evangelistic part, the teaching part, the prophetic part, everything was proclaimed in our time as never before. And now we have the opportunity that the whole world can hear and can watch. Today is, of course, the Zurich Sunday. Otherwise, it's always the last Sunday. This time, it's today, the Zurich Sunday. And from here, yes, from Switzerland, we've greeted all in all the world, and we are grateful to the Lord with all our hearts that now, really by the transmission, on every Wednesday, on every Saturday, on every Sunday, the whole world can hear
that the last message can accomplish that for what it was sent for. For this, God has taken the responsibility for it. For he himself has said, the word which goes forth from my mouth will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish for what it was sent for. All brothers and sisters, in all languages, in all races, in all colors, in all the religions, all over the earth, they have now the opportunity, whether the sermons in Krefeld, whether they're held in Zurich, whether they were held in Salzburg or in Prague, wherever they were held, all have the opportunity to listen to the old and to the new sermons by the transmission online. And for this, we are grateful to the Lord with all our hearts. May this day be a very special day, that all true believers recognize that we are not waiting for the Redeemer and his birth, but waiting for his glorious return as he promised. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will return. At that time, he came to Bethlehem. In Hebrew, one says Bethlehem. Bethlehem. That means house of bread. Our Lord and Savior is the living bread which came down from heaven. Oh, how much thanksgiving we owe to our God, that he in this time of the confusion, also in Christianity, so many traditions there are, but which have nothing to do with God and with the plan of redemption, nothing to do with Christ, our Lord and Savior. But, as I emphasized before that, Mary was chosen to believe the promise for that time. And that's how it took place. We are chosen to believe the promise for this time. And thus it took place. We believe with all our hearts that the Lord will take his blood-bought flock, his redeemed church, his chosen ones, that the bridegroom will fetch his bride from everywhere, calling her out, which prepares herself unto the glorious day to celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. And therefore, I, by faith, with absolute certainty, I can say, at the return of the Lord, the Redeemer will have a bride, a decorated, adorned bride, without spot, without any wrinkle, which he as the bridegroom will fetch, as it is promised to us in some scriptures, especially in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 4. And now just the wonderful scripture in Revelation 22. To me, it's like a crowning of all. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And whoever hears it, let him say, come. For his bride has made herself ready. To our Lord and Savior belongs all the glory and all the praise throughout all eternities. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Come to the fountain of life. Come to the bright light.